Welcome everybody to a surprise edition of Sports Odds and Ends. This is the day after we recorded episode 105. We just decided on a spur of the moment after recording that episode to do a fantasy football special for the fly-by-night fantasy football fans. I'm Jay Veezy. I'm joined by my good friend and co-host King Kaz, with the jam behind the producer glass as always. Kaz, how are you doing?
Good. We got a lot of Groot information from people who have been in the fantasy football trenches to try to help you.
By people who have been in the trenches, you mean us?
Yes. Right. Yes.
This isn't going to be like a draft this guy, go draft that other person. This person's a sleeper type of show. It's going to be more of just kind of an advice show, like especially if you've never played fantasy football before, like you're joining your work league because they needed another body or something, or
maybe you've been asked and you're not sure because you don't follow football that much. You know who Dan Marino is, and that's about it. We're here to help you.
Wow, I don't know if Dan Marino was an active player when I first started playing fantasy football.
No, but I'm just saying like people have kind of sometimes a legacy of sports that they understand that, oh, I know who this person is because of my dad was really into sports or blah, 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 blah. And at work, they're starting this work pool for $5. And I don't want to embarrass myself. No, we're here to one, help you have fun. Two, give you just a little bit of knowledge and work that will make it a little bit easier for you to be able to jump into that $5, $10 work pool. Or it's just that fun pool that your friends have that every time you guys go out to bars, they're talking about their fantasy football stuff and you're just kind of standing there. Now you get to participate in that fun because we're going to give you a good starting base, a good foundation.
Yeah, we're going to help you make sure you don't end up last. Because in a lot of fantasy football leagues, if you end up last, there's usually a price to pay. Right, guys? Kaz, JVZ, there you go.
Sometimes they structure it so that if you get last, you get your money back. Those are weenie leagues. the fun leagues are the ones where you get punished if you're last. So we don't want you to get last. We don't want you to be scared of it. Like we hope that the tips we can give you can get you into like second to last or third to last or maybe even like with a little bit of luck, you might make the playoffs or something or make a deep run and then everybody gets jealous of you. Yeah. But for me personally, I hope that you get attached to a player on your team the same way somebody might get attached to the Dan Marinos of old. So if you've got this guy on your team, you have no idea who this person is, but you see every week they're scoring for you, they're carrying your team, and you get attached to that guy, like the same way that some people playing video games can get attached to certain players in Madden. So like I hope that you get that kind of fun experience that I've had in the past. So mostly we want you to have fun.
All right,
even if you didn't get to the last,
let's get down to the nitty-gritty. I'm gonna explain a few basic concepts of fantasy football. If you already understand these are not for you, these are for the beginners. So number one, understand the type of draft that you are getting yourself into. There are generally two types of draft. There is a snake draft and an auction draft. Auction is the easiest to understand. A player has a dollar value. You spend that dollar value, whether it's real money or fake money, to buy said player and have them on your team. That's kind of
you're outbidding other players. So everybody, the nice thing about this is everybody has a chance to get every single player. In the snake draft, you go in a specific order and then it reverses the next round, which is why it's a snake, because it kind of goes back and forth.
So first to last, and then last goes first the next round.
Yes. The nice thing about the auction draft, like I said, anybody can get any player. If you want them badly enough, you're willing to outbid everybody else to get them, you can get your guy.
Yeah. Now, obviously, there are strategies to both. We're not going to talk a lot about auction draft here because for our particular league that JVZ runs, we do snake draft. One, because we tend to run in the higher value of teams or players with question marks, as in players, as in participants. And two, we tend to try to be very welcoming to new people. And sometimes auction draft isn't super welcoming.
They're very intimidating. You have to know a lot about a lot of other players because you want to know whether you want to keep bidding on a player or not. Also, they take forever. Like we're talking like minimum 3 hours for an auction draft. So if you're not a hardcore football fan, then just avoid it. The snake draft, pretty easy to understand. You just go in order and then you go the opposite order to the next round. A couple interesting things about that is if you are picking last in the first round, you go twice in a row. You have two picks in a row in the middle before anybody else gets two picks.
There is one thing I will have here, and I will get into detail about why it's important later. When you're in a snake draft, as best as you can, and especially for maybe somebody who's a little bit more intermediate, beginners will struggle with this a little bit. Try to think a couple picks ahead. One, because it'll speed the draft up if you kind of have an understanding of what you want to pick in later rounds. And two, if you kind of create a structure of you look at the running backs and you say, I'm good with any of these five guys. If I can get any of these five running backs in the next two rounds, I'm great. Because then if you're honed in on one guy and one guy specifically and you don't get that one guy, then you have to kind of circle back into figuring out, okay, well now who can I pick? It'll slow it down. It'll slow you down. It'll make you second guess yourself. And it'll just kind of put you in a position where you might not pick the best player for you. You might just pick what you think the best player right then and there is, which can hurt you later. So I always say for any particular pick, have at least at the basis three, at the biggest five.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. In general, you don't want to panic. You want to have a backup plan. There's going to be times where the guy you want just disappears from the board. Or sometimes right before, like the guy before you takes the guy you want, and then you have to scramble really quickly in order to get a pick before your timer runs out. So you don't want to be panicking like that. You want to just know, like, okay, if this happens, then I'm going to do this instead. So there is like a queue system in the draft where you can like actually drag players from like the main area into like, I want to pick these guys next. So it allows you to move quickly. It allows you to just kind of save them for later in case you want to move around and look at other stats or something. So take advantage of that. Fill that thing with like five or six players. And so like once they... Like, because I've seen people like put like five players in there, and then four of them get taken by the four people right before their spot. So it's you're the person I'm talking about because you get very vocally angry when that happens. Don't be like Kaz. Like have a backup plan and execute the backup plan with confidence.
Yeah, but at the same time, it is that thing where I did have a list of six guys. You know what I mean? Like it's you find it rare, but it happens. And especially because, like I said, the league that we are a part of has a lot of participants, which is something else we'll get into in a little bit here.
Let's go back to that. In general, you want to have an even number of teams. If you're trying to set this up and
you have, because I don't want to confuse people too much.
Yeah, but have an even number of participants, because if you don't, then somebody has to take a week off somebody has to have a bye week every week where they don't play anybody, and that's lame for them. Also, like it can kind of mess up the schedule a little bit. Just make it so that everybody has something to do every week so that they keep paying attention. They don't forget about it. I think participation goes a long way in this, and there's like a very minimum level that you need to do that that we'll go into later. But like once you do that level every week, you know, it's like a 10 minute commitment to go in, you know, fill out your lineup, and then that's all you have to do. But if you forget about it, if you have bye weeks or something, then it's easy to forget about it. And so don't be in one of those leagues. Shame your league commissioner if they set it up where there's buys, or just volunteer to be like, okay, I don't, you know, I'll drop out if we have an odd number of teams. Like that, people like that actually really help out the league commissioner, because then they don't have to worry about kicking people out or not. If they for some reason set up the draft in early preseason, game them for that too, because I mean, we just talked about in yesterday's Sports Odds and End episode, Andrew Luck just retired out of the blue, and I know there are a bunch of people that drafted Andrew Luck, and we are in like the third week of preseason or so out of four, so you know, like we're getting pretty late in preseason, but like stuff is still happening. People get injured. You know, people that are drafted high get injured. So it's kind of a
good thing about preseason is if you're a little bit more of an intermediate football fan, you may not normally pay attention to preseason, but if you're at that intermittent level of being a football fan and you also participate in fantasy football, preseason is a really good place to kind of pre-screen potential draft picks. Whether you watch the games or not, just looking at the stat lines from preseason might be a good indicator of how well a team or a certain guy might do. It's going to be a really small sample size, but sometimes you can peep out somebody's like through line in a couple of preseason games to be like, oh man, this guy has had a really good read on three different defenses that he's gotten to take a look at. So he might be really good early. You know, and you could get into the weeds on like sleeper things and stuff like that. I tend to find those things to be a little bit high level, and I tend to find those things to be a little bit gambly in fantasy football. But I tend to think preseason is a really good starting place for an intermediate football fan.
I think if like it's easy to look into the numbers and read too much into it sometimes. What I personally like to do is like anytime a player switched teams, especially a wide receiver switching teams, you want to get an idea of like how good is this wide receiver working with their new quarterback. So Antonio Brown is a good example. Like he's got a new quarterback now. Derek Carr is going to be throwing to him. So like, you know, how, like what are the reports both out of, you know, practice, out of training camp, and, you know, like in game, like because the good players will only play for like one drive a game, so they won't play that much, but it's a good idea to look at like, oh, he's got a good rapport with his new quarterback, so that's a good thing. And then sometimes like, oh, he's got a good rapport with his new quarterback, maybe that means the other wide receivers on the team are also going to have more opportunities too, or especially rookie players, because you don't really have any idea how they're going to perform. So like when you see a new rookie running back coming in, you think they're going to be good, and then sometimes, you know, they come out there and they suck in the preseason, and sometimes they come out there and they're great, and so that can change what you might think about them. So so I think that's a good thing to focus on, and obviously injuries, injuries, potential suspensions, things like that are things you might want to take into account when doing your preseason research.
Let's talk about injuries and suspensions and things of that nature for a little bit here. Pretty much, depending on the system that you're using, whether it's like Yahoo, ESPN, or for some reason you have a friend who has some homegrown system, if you're using something that has an app that you can use on your phone, definitely download the app. It'll be your biggest friend. I know a lot of current culture is to get away from your phone, but this is where you want to pay attention to your phone a lot. In those apps, you'll have a lot of reports on injuries and things like that. Definite injuries are always something to pay attention to. Minor injuries tend to be something to pay attention to. It tends to get a little bit too deep into the fantasy football weeds when you get down to minor injuries and like, will this guy play today? It's minute by minute kind of stuff. If that kind of scares you, just kind of live in the sense of, you know, if you have a backup, play your backup. Don't be scared to play your backup. Don't take too much advice from reading too deep. Just kind of go with what feels right. If you think the guy's not going to play, then just stick with that. It tends to be something as you play more, you'll get a sense for, especially as you get to know certain players, but just kind of go with what's right on those things. Cause you can get way, way, way too, you can end up reading too many articles for too long.
From the perspective of the draft, I think the big thing to worry about with injuries is if you draft a guy that might not play to start the season because they're still recovering from injury, like keep in mind, like when do you expect them to be back and what do you plan on doing for those weeks that they are expected to be out? Same thing with suspensions, because usually the suspensions start the season. So it's like a 4-game suspension to start the season. So like maybe they're a really good player that you kind of get at a discount or like late because other people don't want to touch them because of those. They're going to miss 4 weeks or so. It's okay to take those guys, but just make sure you have a plan. Make sure you know what you're going to be doing for those 4 weeks that player is going to be out. The Andrew Luck was going to be an example of that before he retired. It was going to be kind of like he's got a calf injury. He's trying to recover in time for the season to start. So you don't know what's going to happen week one. So you want to draft a good backup quarterback because you know that you might not have Andrew Luck for week one if you draft Andrew Luck. So so just kind of things that you can do to protect yourself. You'll have plenty of opportunity during the draft to draft backup players. I think in general, though, you still want to go with the strategy of just get a bunch of, I know it sounds obvious, but like get really good players at the beginning that can carry your team. I like to have like one solid quarterback, like a really, really good quarterback that I know that I plan on playing every week except for his bye week. And then I don't have to worry about switching him out every week based off of what defense he's going to play against. The leagues where I've done that, I've always overthought it. I've always started the wrong quarterback every week. Any league where I've had two good quarterbacks, I've had, you know, I've ended up starting the guy that scores 20 points where my backup gets 30 points. It's a mess. And if you're playing on a fly by night level, you kind of want to just put a guy in there that's just all reliable and you don't have to worry about them week to week.
So a few kind of basic. So I have a bunch of links that'll be in the show notes for you guys to kind of go look at and read things as far as kind of researching fantasy football goes. But a few key points from a couple of these different websites that I wanna pick at is these two things kind of go hand in hand. You want to draft certain positions early. So running backs, wide receivers, you want to go for early. You want to tend to go for quarterbacks in the mid early section of the draft. But a really good note that JVZ has in here that I kind of just want to get to is don't go too far away from anything you have set up if people start to pick out of position early. So if you read everything and you take to the things that we say and I'm saying in the first few rounds, get running backs and wide receivers, but somebody starts picking quarterbacks or a kicker or something else, and you're like, wait, that's not what any of the things I read said. That's not what JVZ and Kaz said. Like, stick to your thing. That person has their own strategy. Never let anyone else's strategy determine yours.
Yes. I definitely have backup plans, but don't stray too far away. Like you said, that's the thing about panicking. Like, sometimes you see like, oh, they got, you know, the last three picks were three different quarterbacks. And one of them was the quarterback that I wanted to get. And then, you know, that I wanted to get two rounds from now. Like, should I take a quarterback now because everybody's going to start taking quarterbacks? No, because there are a lot of quarterbacks out there that are good. So it's like, draft strategy is all about availability. You don't have to worry about it too much, but that's why they suggest take running backs early, because there are only a handful of really, really good running backs that can carry your team. And then the drop off from the elite running backs to the whatever, all these guys are kind of interchangeable level. That's a pretty big drop off. So that's why that advice is given out that way. And you can kind of get a quarterback whenever, especially if it's your backup quarterback, because you're only going to play one quarterback at a time in most leagues. So don't worry too much about making sure you have a good backup. You can even wait till the last round to draft a good backup quarterback.
One of the other tips that isn't ours that I see a lot of is if you pick a high value player, get that person's backup. Especially when it comes to running backs. If you're going to take a running back that actual team, an actual NFL team is going to rely on, from all the research that you do, you see that they're going to get a lot of chances to have the ball. Running backs tend to be a little bit more injury prone. So you tend to want to have the safety blanket for yourself and picking the person that is the next in line on their team in case that person gets injured. Cause then, you know, a lot of their strategy is based on running. I want to have that guy too in my lineup.
Yeah.
He might not be somebody you end up playing a lot. It might not be somebody you end up using a lot, but it's a safety net.
Yes. Because if your workhorse gets injured, then their backup is going to slot right into that position in the real NFL game. They're not going to change strategies that much. They are just going to take that backup and all of a sudden give them a lot more touches. So if you didn't draft the backup, then when that injury news comes out, everybody is going to try to get him. So if you already have him, then you've set yourself up. I think that's pretty much all the draft stuff, I think.
The only other thing I had in here that I'd never been a big proponent of, but I have had other people say it when they're starting out, is do mock drafts just to kind of get a sense of timing and pace of a draft. And just so you can kind of see what it's like if you've never done it before, so that when you do it with either your coworkers or your friends or whatever league you happen to be in, you just kind of have a little bit of a mindset of what's happening.
So just to be clear on that. Like every major fantasy football service has a system where you can go in and do like a pretend draft. So A, this is a good way to test your computer and your connection and install whatever software you need in order to make sure that this is working, like Flash or whatever. I don't think most leagues rely on that anymore, but in case you need to get all that set up, just to make sure that the system is working on your computer before you try to do it for reals. And if you've never done it before, then that helps you get used to the system. It also helps you get used to what other people are picking. But there's always one person in every mock draft that just tries to troll and take somebody way early just to mess with everybody. So I don't know how much insight you get from that. If somebody does that, but it will at least get you familiar with the system. I guess the one other thing, which is a piece of bad advice that I would give you, but like if you're just playing for kind of the experience, if you have a favorite NFL team, and you don't know who to pick, maybe just pick some guys that you know from your team that you're familiar with, that you're comfortable rooting for on Sundays. So if you want to be rooting for the players on your fantasy team. So it's kind of a weird feeling to be like, I hate this player because he plays for a rival team, but I want him to do really well this weekend, even though he's playing my favorite team, because I have him on my fantasy team. That's just a weird feeling, and maybe something that that you just don't want to deal with if this is your first time playing. It's okay to just have fun and pick the guys that you like because they are on the team you like.
Yeah. So speaking about the season, a couple of different things. Usually, I would say somewhere between Tuesday and Wednesday is generally a good time to look at and start setting your lineup. And then I kind of really like this advice you have here, where it's not always going to work for everyone, and it's going to depend on your level of involvement, but waking up about 30-ish minutes before the first game of the day, usually the first game of the week of football is Thursday.
I forgot about that. Don't forget about the Thursday game. That's one piece of advice. Set your lineup Wednesday night.
Yes, there is a Monday night game generally, but when you think about where football starts, it's going to start on the Thursday. Monday is kind of the last game of the week in the weird kind of cycle. So you want to make sure your lineup is generally set before Thursday, and then going into that week, where you can make changes and things like that, before any games. So a lot of your players will be game time dependent, which just means, you'll have a chance to change them before their game time. So you kind of just always want to be looking at the different players you have set in different roles. Another big piece of advice when it comes to the players you picked having a bye week, you want to make sure you have somebody that is playing during your starter's bye week. So that, like, say you have your quarterback that JVZ has been talking about that you're pretty much going to leave in for the duration of your fantasy football season, there's going to be at least one week where you can't play that guy. So that's the one week you want to have a backup quarterback that you can put in that is then hopefully not playing that week, because then you have to do weird waiver stuff. And if you're not used to waiver stuff, that's a whole other thing.
And when you draft, it'll show like this is the player and this is their bye week. So so just make sure you draft if two players are playing the same position, make sure they have different bye weeks. Or keep them and just be ready to scramble in the middle of the season and get somebody else off of the free agent list. If if that's the plan you want to go with. So it's, you know, nothing you do during the draft is irreversible, but if you think ahead a little bit, then you can set yourself up pretty well.
Yeah, and it all harks back into talking to the person who's running your draft and understanding how the waiver system works and how trades or anything like that work. It's always good to just ask questions. Never be scared to ask questions.
Usually, I think the standard way that those systems work is so the last game of the week ends Monday night. So Tuesday is kind of the day where everybody has a chance to say, to look at the list of available players and say, I want this person that's available. And but you don't get them right away after you decide you want them. What happens instead is you submit a waiver request. And then there's a certain order, like every team or every participant in your league has a certain priority order. Usually it starts with the reverse order of the draft. And if you put in a request for a player and you get that player, or if you put in a request for a player and nobody else requests them, then you get that player. And then your order, your priority drops to the bottom. If you put in a waiver request and somebody else requests the same player, because say they had a good week the week before, and so now everybody wants this guy, and now three people put in requests for this guy, then whoever has the highest priority gets that player, but then they drop to the bottom, and then everybody else's priority moves up. So that's the way most waiver systems work, and usually Tuesday is kind of the day to put in waiver requests, and then Wednesday, a Wednesday in the morning at midnight, that's when those requests go through, and then you can go through and pick any player you want without having it disrupt your waiver priority. So yeah. Save those requests for the players that are really good. Like, don't use it on a kicker, which I've totally done before, but don't. It's, you know, like the guys that you expect will still be there on Wednesday, like, save it, because you want.
I've done it too. It's fine.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like, okay, I just really need this guy. But like, if you don't feel like you really need a player, then maybe you could just wait till Wednesday. But yeah, make sure you check on Wednesdays. A, because those requests went through, and B, because that's the day before the next week's games start. So yeah, just a little bit of housekeeping there.
So one of the big things for me and JVZ, and like I said, it depends on your level of participation, is we're not the biggest watchers of the NFL, but like, there is one of the greatest things ever invented called the Red Zone, which will just show you highlights of every game happening that day. Especially on Sundays when a majority of the games are played.
They're all happening at the same time, and they're all in various stages of excitement. Some of them are in the middle of the field, but it's called Red Zone because when a team gets close to scoring, that's the red zone of the field. So what they will do is they will switch to games where somebody is about to score, and scoring in the game, it basically drives scoring in fantasy football. So that's why the Red Zone channel is very much tailored to people who enjoy fantasy football. If mm-hmm. you're gonna watch on there, the DJM says hashtag Octobox in the chat. And what that's referring to is sometimes there are eight games at the same time that are all in the red zone, and they just show all eight of them at the same time, just all in eight boxes on the screen, just all of them happening. It's just chaos. And it's that kind of chaos that makes fantasy football fun to follow, not just week to week, but throughout as these games are happening. So
yeah,
and if you're gonna drift in and out throughout the day, like, I think the best time to tune into the Red Zone channel is before, like, the hour the last hour of the first set of games throughout the day. So if you're on the West Coast, that's like 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. And on the East Coast, 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. So like during that span of time, that's when most of the games are happening. And that's when you're most likely to get one of those that last hour. Just people are scoring. It's chaos and it's fun. So you basically need a break after that. That's a fun experience thing.
This is a lot of information for people who are kind of like I said, it depends on your level of welcomeness to fantasy football, but we're really kind of speaking to people who might be a little bit trepidatious about jumping into it. And this is a lot of information, but the main key point is to have fun. If the league that you're going to jump into seems a little too serious for you, then maybe take a step back. I know Reddit has a lot of entry level fun leagues that you can join. There's always some kind of passive leagues on ESPN or Yahoo that you can join if you just kind of want to get your feet wet. You'll be playing with people you may not know, but it's a really good entry level way to kind of just get your feet wet and have fun with it. Have weeks where you just didn't pay attention to your team at all. And just kind of do things like that. Whereas maybe in a little bit more of a serious league, they might, you know, harp on you a little bit if you don't pay attention to your lineup. But there's always some level of entry that you can have to go and have fun. And we've kind of predicated ourselves with our league on kind of having fun. We do like to trash talk a little bit. We do like the competitiveness of it. And I think those are the fun parts, because it's competitive without it really, really being competitive, because you're not directly competing. So there is a level of fun that you should be having with this. If you are getting stressed by any of this, I think take a step back and slow it down a little bit is the key thing, because this is something that should be fun no matter what.
I will say though, I think the minimum level of participation that you should do in order to not just to do well, like I think if you do this, you're not going to get last, but I think you should make sure you have a full lineup every week of players that are playing. If you accidentally start a guy that's injured, that like it was a game time decision, then fine, whatever. That's not a big deal. But like you want as many of your players scoring points as possible. So I think in order to keep it competitive, you don't want to give free wins to anybody. Because if somebody just decides to quit in the middle of the season and never adjust their lineup again, and everybody just gets a free win against that player, then it's just not fun. So it kind of ruins it. You want everybody to kind of go up against the same level of competition throughout the season, even if that level is just, I spent 5 minutes adjusting my lineup and making sure that I didn't have any injured or suspended players in my lineup this week, then or anybody that was on a bye week. Just make sure you have a full team. If I can give any advice, just that's it right there. Because especially if you join like a casual like league with a bunch of people you don't know, a bunch of people are going to just stop playing throughout the year. And just by you being in there and making sure you have a full team every week, you'll get to like fifth or sixth place. And you'll be ahead of those people that are still starting the running back that got injured in week one. So just by doing that, I think you'll be okay. And on top of that, it's just a nice thing to do for the league, just to keep it competitive, and keep it fair for everybody else. But other than that, have fun, you know, check in on your team, often, but you know, like once a week, you don't have to obsess about it. Like Kaz said, but you know, check in once a week.
And
I think you'll be fine. And at the very least you'll either find out that you had something to gloat about or find out that you just got destroyed by the other participant you were facing.
Treat your fantasy football team the same way you treat your grandma. Once a week, and for a short period of time.
Okay. All right.
That's pretty much been it. Definitely check out the links that we put down below and in the show notes. I kind of compiled a bunch of different things for you guys to look at and read if you want to do those kind of things. There's some mock draft stuff. There's some potential draft order things for you to look at if you want to get that deep into it. But like we said, have fun with it. Enjoy it. And from the boys at Sports Odds and Ends, good luck on your fantasy football adventures, and I hope you have fun with it. Tweet us your lineups, tweet us your teams, tweet us your questions, and you can do that for me at King Kaz on Twitter. You can do that for JVZ at JVZ, and DJM this week is, I think, still called
don't message him about that stuff. And
yeah, he's not that.
We will give you football bad advice. Like the part of why we say don't take it seriously is just because it's still a crapshoot. It's almost like gambling. It's that level of fun, but because of how unpredictable the NFL is, you can make all the right moves and still fall flat on your face. And that's hope for people who aren't familiar with it, who aren't experts. And sometimes it sucks for people who are, but anybody can win, which is part of the fun of it. So we hope that's you.
Make sure you go and check out last week's episode of Sports Odds and Ends, and make sure you continue listening to Sports Odds and Ends. As you may have heard, if you listened to last week's episode, we do now have a Patreon. If you would like to give us some support there, you can do that by going over to patreon.com/sportsoddsandends. You can continue to show your support if you do not want to do it monetarily by listening to the show each and every week, sharing it with a friend, tweeting about it, and doing those kind of things, because we appreciate that those things just as much as anything else. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us, and we will be back with another episode on Sunday.